You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha, Wisconsin. You can always join us. It's the same number, call or text at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up this hour, Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, joining us at 11:20. For a little weather and wine, we'll find out how long this beautiful stretch of weather is going to last. At 11:30, excited to talk to Jennifer Smia from Haws, Humane Animal Welfare Society here in Waukesha County. They have partnered up with a bunch of other really good groups to fly more than 100 shelter pets from South Carolina homes to Wisconsin to find adoptive homes in the wake of Hurricane Helene. Those animals are going to be landing, I think, when she joins us. I know. I wish we could be out there to see it happen.
Just want to hug them all.
The shelter pets leaving early this morning from Florence Regional Airport in South Carolina. Pets on the flight are fully vetted and health certified, so we will get more details about that coming up at 11:33 with Jennifer from Haws, and we will wrap up the show as we do every day now with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today's one that Calvin found. You leave a nice birthday message for somebody, and you make people melt down.
Can I tell you that we have a really big fan of that segment? My friend Caitlin came up to me yesterday. She goes, I love This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
And good.
And then she goes, This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I'm like, we're making waves, people.
Hey, if you ever want to call in with your rendition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing, we'll put it in rotation.
Yeah.
That'd be great. And if you ever have a thing that should not be, you can send it to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Speaking of helping out the victims of Hurricane Helene, Civic Media now has a help page. Go to civicmedia.us/help, and it's got links to Samaritan's Purse, the Red Cross, and also World Central Kitchen. I donate to that monthly. I think they're wonderful. They respond to disasters all over the world. And they're usually really quick to get on the ground, either to help feed residents or to help feed the first responders who are helping the residents. So go to civicmedia.us/help if you would like to make a donation to help all the victims affected by Hurricane Helene. Don't forget, you can always give blood. Quick and easy. Versity. They're terrific. I gave yesterday. In and out. Boom, boom, boom. All right. We're going to jump off from something that you and Pat Kreitlow were talking about earlier this morning.
Yeah. Talked about the subject matter of naming one's car was brought up.
And also specific car cultures.
Well, the thing was, it started with car culture. Just the idea of, like, did you ever name your car growing up? You know, people do that all the time, especially when you're young, that first car you have, and you give it a really
I've named every one of my cars.
What's your current car's name?
It's the Grey Goose.
The Grey Goose. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's a nice reference. But then it moved on, and we could talk to Brittany about this because she will be on the program in a little bit. But she happened to mention that she has a Jeep Wrangler, and Pat lit up like a Christmas tree because he also is a Jeep driver.
Okay.
And I did not realize, or let's face it, care about how deep the Jeep culture went.
And what does this involve?
It involves, like, I guess there is a not a handshake. Well, there might be a handshake, but, like, if you drive past another Jeep person, there's a thing you do.
Is there a special wave?
A wave. And then
a special sign?
I don't know. I'm going to get to my moment of victory on this one too. But then he said something about, like, how many ducks do you have in your dashboard? I'm like, what does this even mean? Are you guys, like, code?
Some secret language for Jeep drivers?
I guess so. And right now, like, honestly, I can feel my watch going off because people are texting in. So I bet you right now there's going to be opinions on this.
Oh, good. Calvin, do you name your cars?
I do not.
You've never named your car?
No, I haven't. I've like thought about it, but I don't know. It's just a car to me.
So right now we're okay. If you've named your car, text us.
I'd love to know what you named your car.
855-752-4842 is the number. That's call or text. Same does for both. You leave a comment on the live stream. Tell us what the name of your car was. Matt in Germantown says Subaru now has a Moo Moo Subaru. Google it, I guess. So there's a bit of a Subaru culture as well.
But, I mean, I've been driving Subarus for decades.
Yeah.
I've never had a special handshake or a sign or a wave or a secret symbol with other Subaru drivers. Maybe I'm just not in the club.
Maybe Subaru's culture is minding your business.
maybe I just haven't been in. Maybe you have to be invited.
Yeah. But like there's the age old bumper sticker. And by the way, I got corrected on the exact verbiage on this. So if I mess it up, sue me, Jeep people. Jeeple. It's like it's a Jeep thing you wouldn't understand.
Oh, jeez.
And I know that's incorrect. And Pat immediately corrected me. And I'm like, this is insanity right now, what this is. I don't know. Like, I play with Lego and watch Star Wars movies, and I was a little nerved out by the all of a sudden, Jeep, oh my God. Chris in Janesville on WMTX, I love this. He goes, first car we named Tom.
Tom?
Yep.
Just Tom.
Yep, I love that. I just love a nice salt of the earth name. Tom.
My very first car was Ezra the Mean Green Machine.
See, someone else had something similar too.
It was an Opel. It was an ugly green Opel.
I've named my guitars. I've never named a car. They said, you name your car. I'm like, I drive a Honda Insight. I named it Steve. And then at one point I go, where are my Honda Insight people at? Because I'm like, no one does. That's a who loves a wannabe Prius? And I get, no lie, a text message within 5 minutes from Dr. Lyerly running for Congress, who's got way more things to do, saying, I drive a Honda Insight too.
Oh, I'm like, see, you do like, have a club.
I have a club of two, and the other member is amazing.
What did you name your car? Do you name your cars? What's your current car's name? And is there a secret car society to which you belong? When I drove a motorcycle, you would always either wave at other cyclists or not at other cyclists.
Yeah.
But I've been driving Subarus for decades, and I've never had a special nod or a wave from another Subaru driver.
I mean,
feeling kind of bad now.
You should start it. Maybe there's a Subaru club.
Tristan from Kenosha, I got the new 2025 Camry, and I named it Carmine. Or Carrie, and I named it Carmine. Carmine is good.
Carmine the Camry.
Because the car is mine.
The doggone car is mine.
Chris from Janesville, Little Blue.
Aw.
Little Blue.
Was Linda from Middleton, not listening to WMDX. I drove Ruby Begonia, a 1958 Travelall. Whoa.
Wow. Forever loved. Forever. Ruby Begonia. Jim from Fond du Lac, listening in Madison on WMDX. I call it a lot of names when it doesn't start.
That's, yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
I hear that.
Yeah, Calvin, so what kind of car do you drive?
I drive a Toyota Corolla.
You drive a solid, very, very, like, feet on the ground type of thing, you know, not too classy, not too sassy. What color is your Toyota Corolla?
It's like a bluish gray.
Would you say it has more of a masculine or a feminine energy? And knowing that masculine and feminine are constructs, but just, you know what I'm saying. I'm looking at names right now.
Oh, for Calvin's car.
Yeah. Because I have one, I think.
It's got a little bit of a dent and some rust, so maybe masculine.
A man. So definitely a man, because he wouldn't get that fixed. I think we should name your car. It's a Corolla.
Correct.
Roland. Roland the Corolla. You can say Roland with my homies. It just writes itself, dude. I'm serious. Unless you have some other ideas, what should we name Calvin's car?
BJ on the live stream says Jeep equals just empty each pocket. I've heard that about Jaguars for sure.
I've heard acronyms for Ford.
What is your car's name? Do you have a car name? Are you part of a car club where you give special hand signs to people driving in the same kind of car as you?
This one's, I don't know who this is, the listening WAUK. All my cars have been named Betsy. My wife has had names like Lola Corolla.
Ooh, like it.
And then also Sophia Kia.
Oh, that's good too.
That's a good one too. And it's, I'm Sally in Mequon. I'm listening in Mequon, WAUK, and my car is a Toyota Highlander. Big Poppy.
Big Poppy.
And here, maybe we'll have this discussion too, that I don't need, my car is fine. I am starting to put myself into the market of buying a new car or new to me. So I need advice, folks. This last car, I did the research, I bought it, but this is my first foray into like the deep, like I'm going to buy it in 6 months. I want to have all the information. I want to test drive all the cars. So, sure. I know which ones I don't want. I know which ones I'd love, but I can't have them.
Yeah.
But yeah. Did you name your car?
Tom from Minnesota listening on WMDX in Madison. My first car was a Ford Pinto. I didn't name it, but I wish I had named it Legumes because it was worth beans.
Hey-o! Tom from Minnesota!
Jeep actually is an acronym standing for Just Expect Every Problem from Tom and West Dallas.
Somewhere Pat Kreitlow and Brittany Merlot are like
crying.
Yeah, so I guess we'd have to know more, but I'm this duck thing is very interesting to me because it's like he said, "Do you have any ducks on your dashboard?" And Brittany was like, "Oh yeah," and I'm like, "Oh my God, what is this about?"
Well, we're gonna have to break the secret code. She's gonna be with us next.
Yes, absolutely.
So we're just hot lights, and we'll put her in a chair, and we'll pressure her.
Yeah, exactly.
To share the secrets of Jeep owners, I guess the Jeep Club. See if we can get any insight.
And I also want to know what makes them so great, besides the fact that they're. It's kind of like people who are like Apple fans. Nothing against Apple, but like people who are like, I love Apple.
No matter what.
They love the brand. They like people seeing the little logo so they feel cool.
Ah.
The same people who are like, it's all about the blue bubble in your texting.
Well,
like,
I'm sure we can do a What Car Should Greg Buy segment.
Definitely.
People will have many, many, many opinions.
And hey, if there's anybody who owns a car lot who wants to sponsor a segment, I won't stop you.
Brittany Merlot for Weather and Wine is coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Summer has come and passed. The innocent can never last. Wake me up.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha, Wisconsin. You can always join us. Call or text. Same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Big baseball game tonight. Mets at the Brewers. I know. Yesterday was not a good day. 6 o'clock start tonight for the Mets at the Brewers. You can listen to the game on WRCE 107.7 FM, 1450 AM in Richland Center. And you can also check it out on WCQM 98.3 FM in Park Falls. Mets at the Brewers tonight with a 6 o'clock start. Go Crew.
Yes.
Yes.
Go, please. Come on, man.
She joins us usually on Thursdays. We had to do a little switcheroo, but Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, is here for Weather and Wine. Good morning, Brittany. How you doing?
Good morning. I am doing great. Feeling fantastic in the flannel, enjoying October.
This,
I can't believe it's October already.
I know. It's October 2nd already, and this is my kind of weather, man. The sunshine, but the cool breeze, and the windows are open at night, and so you can start putting on some more comforters and stuff. How long are we going to be able to enjoy this before reality comes in and slaps us upside the head.
Reality as in warmth or way, way too cold?
Way, way too cold.
Okay, reality.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we do have chances for some frost starting to sneak into the forecast as this really, really dry air moves in. So we've got the cold front, right? And that's why it's getting so breezy again today. We're seeing gusts up to 40 miles per hour.
Wow.
In the northern parts of the state. Yeah, it's a little feisty up here. But, you know, we've got the leaves changing colors. It's fantastic. They're falling to the ground. But then you put the wind on top of it and any little fire that you start to burn. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Fires.
Mm-hmm. So pretty dangerous up here up north, even though I want to just have a bonfire so bad, right? When fall turns.
Yeah, it would be perfect. But you're right. We've been so dry. The last thing you want to do is spark something. That would be horrific.
Yeah.
And so no rain in the next 10 days, or what are we looking at?
Honestly, no. We have a front pushing through tomorrow night, and then we have another one Saturday night. So two cold fronts moving in. Thursday night, it's so dry. Basically, it's sitting right now into northern Minnesota. It looks like on radar that there is showers, but it's not making it to the ground. Our dew points are just so low. The humidity is so low that it's evaporating. So that's not going to rain on us Thursday, I don't think. The only chances we have is potentially Saturday night, but that stays into the northeastern parts of Wisconsin. So not everyone's going to see that. So we're pretty dry for a while. And I was looking at the extended outlook, you know, 15 days out.
Sure.
And we stay at a target of well below average precipitation. So it's not too good. I mean, right now I believe it's 16% of the state is in a moderate drought and about 37% is abnormally dry. So we need it.
Yeah, we really do need the rain.
Yeah.
That one day of rain we had, was it last week? And you could just see the grass greened up in a day because we just let ours go dormant rather than to continue to keep watering it. So, yeah, we certainly do need some rain. But so this kind of stuff, though, is going to be with us for a while. The sunny, yes. the nice, cool, not 85, not 45.
Pretty much. You know, it's pretty interesting. So we have all these multiple fronts, but right out ahead of each front, we'll get a little slice of warmth. So parts of the state get a little bump while the rest don't, and then the front pushes through. So it's a little like roller coaster over the next few weeks, kind of hovering from those upper 50s well up north to some mid 70s throughout the state. So between those temperatures for the next few weeks, that's what we're looking at.
I just love listening to Brittany describe the weather. Little bump, little roller coaster. Flirting with the 40s. Like, just, it's just so expressive. I really enjoy it.
I try to sound different, make it more interactive or,
yeah,
you know, appealing maybe.
You do, absolutely.
My husband says the same thing about you, Brittany. He loves your forecasts because you make them interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks. I think it's the passion shining through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of passionate, and we only got a couple of minutes left. What is the secret Jeep culture gang signs that you guys are throwing at each other?
I never said gang signs.
In the ducks on the dashboard? What is this?
Oh, we do. We have our own little gang, in a sense. It's a friendly one. So we wave at each other, just like motorcycles do, right? They throw out the two fingers to the side. We throw the two fingers up on the steering wheel or out the window or throw a foot out the door, whatever we need to do because we don't need doors or a top. So we have always
been
doing that.
Point of order, Miss Merlot. You do need a top and doors. That feels like that should just be not, that doesn't seem safe.
No, we're safe. We're good. And, you know, we're so good that we leave ducks on each other's Jeep because some of them are really tricked out, look cool, or we're just feeling friendly. So we put a duck on the door, right on the handle, and that is just a sign of
awesome. You don't give the ducks out to non-Jeep owners?
Nope.
Are mean.
Do you travel with a pocket full of ducks?
I do. It's the duck it bucket. It's in my backseat. I do.
I'm so fascinated by this because when Pat found out you had a Jeep, he lit up like a child.
He did.
And
we love each other.
And then I just basically fizzled into the background because I had nothing to connect with.
You're not part of the club.
No, I'm in the Insight Club. That's me and Dr. Lyerly. That's it. We're the only two. That's why they pretty much don't make him anymore.
Oh, it's okay. You can join us. It's fun.
Well, now, come on, Subaru owners. Let's start leaving otters on each other's door handles. I just feel we're
oh, tiny. I was
no,
I,
tiny otters.
I thought you meant like a live otter
they
on
have
your door.
Ducks. I don't know. I just I'm open to any animal. I just think, come on, Subies. Let's get
Subies.
Let's get it together, and we'll have our own. We'll have our own club.
It's me and Yubaru and the Subaru.
Okay.
Ooh. Ooh.
Sorry.
If you would, do you have a name for your car? By the way, that's what we were talking about before you joined us.
I do. It's Natural Disaster.
Oh boy.
And it's green, just like the green screen.
See, and when you're talking about no top and no doors, it just makes me very nervous and worried about
now
you.
Now he's going to worry about you, Brittany, when you're when you're driving.
You text when you get home, all right?
Okay.
Brittany Merlot joins us once a week for weather and wine. Thank you so much, Brittany. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank
news
you too.
Is coming up next, and when we return, Jennifer from Hawes, Humane Animal Welfare Society of Waukesha County. We got pets coming in from hurricane-affected areas. You can expand your family. That's all on the way. Stay here. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Back on the road again. Me and you and a dog named Moo.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon hates that we continue to call Twitter. Very excited. I saw your press release come out yesterday afternoon, Jen, and I was like, ooh, we got to get her on. Jen Smea is with Hawes Humane Animal Welfare Society of Waukesha County, and we had been talking, obviously, this week about the massive destruction down south after Hurricane Helene. And I know Hawes has done this for a long time. So you have actually a plane load of pets coming up from North Carolina, correct?
It's the plane load that we're getting, they're actually originating in South Carolina.
In South Carolina.
And they are, in South. And basically what happens is that the shelters in the region will transport their adoptable pets that have already been in their shelters to basically a centralized location, get them on the plane, and then fly them to us. So we take care of adopting out the animals that have already been available for adoption. So they've got the space at their shelters to help with any emergencies. They can do emergency boarding for people who maybe are now homeless, who cannot take a pet with them to the shelter that they're going to.
Sure.
So that gives them the opportunity to be more hands-on, you know, of the moment and help the pets that are down there that are in need.
Yeah, this is a really vitally important piece of this puzzle. It really is, because as you said, Jen, if their shelters are already full down there, and I would think that it takes a couple of weeks for people to realize they can't find their pets and pets start showing up, right, and being taken to shelters. And so that's why you want to have these places empty so they can accommodate whatever is going to be coming in the aftermath of this.
Exactly. Yeah, it was something that was learned back during Hurricane Katrina all those years ago, that the shelters there in the affected areas and, you know, even miles outside of that need to be open for stray pets that have gone missing during a storm, or, you know, as I said before, for pets that are needing an emergency place to stay because they can't go with their humans to whatever emergency housing they're going to. So now that we've learned our lesson, and now that, you know, as a nationwide organization of welfare, animal welfare groups, we've learned that this is the easiest thing, you know, clear out those local shelters, give them all the space that they could possibly need. And for us, it's a way that we can, you know, actually be helpful. You sit kind of this far away and you see what's going on, and what can you do? You know, there's that helpless feeling if you want to do something for them, because what are they going through? These amazing, you just can't imagine, you know, put yourself in their shoes. It's just, it's overwhelming. So for us to be able to help in this way, it really, it gives us a concrete way to do something for them, to actually be helpful. You know, it's a great feeling for us, but also for the animals, it makes a world of difference.
Well, and we've talked about this so much. Wisconsinites are very, very generous people. And I think, like you said, Jen, when something so massive happens like this, and you look at the pictures of this incredible destruction, and you feel like, you know, what I can't do anything. Well, that's not true. There are little things that you can do. You can make a donation. If you go to civicmedia.us/help, we now have a page that lists a couple. It's got World Central Kitchen on there. It's got the Red Cross on there. If you're trying to find a place to make donations, or you can do, as Jen Smeha is talking about here with Haas, you can adopt a new friend.
Yes. So yes, please do. We're going to have a nice influx. We're going to have plenty.
I know you are. Now, these pets that are coming in from South Carolina aren't just going to end up going to Haas, though, because we're talking about 100 of them. So they're going to be going to different shelters across the Southeast, at least.
Yeah. It's teamwork, and that's really what it takes. But, you know, when we get over 100 pets, and I think the number is close to 130 now at last count, but when you get that many pets coming in, if you can divide it amongst, as we're doing this time, eight different organizations, you know, that boils down to not that many pets per shelter. You know, some of us larger ones, we're taking about 30. So, you know, we've got the space. We're a larger shelter. We can do that. But even some of the smaller shelters in the area are opening up their doors and taking 6, 8, 10, whatever. You know, it's that thing. Everybody does a little bit. It makes a huge difference. So we're going to easily house these, you know, 130-ish pets amongst all the shelters, predominantly here in Southeast Wisconsin, you know, as usual, culprits, Haas, Elmer Humane Society, Washington County, Jefferson County, Wisconsin Humane is taking some, Dane County is actually joining us on this one, and then also we've got Greene County and Eau Claire Humane Association that are coming down to take too. We've had, you know, some friends in far out places too that have also decided, hey, you know, we've got a transport van, we can load them up from your airport and head out, so yeah, let's do it.
I love that people do that.
Yeah.
And I do. It just reinforces your faith in humanity when people step up and say, hey, I got a van, I can do this.
Yeah.
And you are always looking for volunteers. And on a day like today, when you have a flight coming in, have they landed already or are they still in transit?
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. We keep getting these updates. The weather there has still been kind of iffy. Yesterday they were forecasting fog. Now today it looks like they finally were able to take off just a little bit ago. So there was some unscheduled delays there. But it's a case of we've got, you know, looks like they're going to land about 2 o'clock. And they're en route. We'll see what happens.
Do you have folks out there to help? I'm assuming you have to have someone help you unload all these animals and everything.
We do. You know, fortunately, again, we have got so many great volunteers and obviously staff too. This community, it's amazing to work in a community like this because people just step up. They really do. They jump in. Before we even knew what was happening with this last week, we had people calling saying, what are you going to need? We're like, we don't know yet, but, you know, we'll let you know as soon as we do, which is, you know, that's just the best feeling in the world. We have a team of experienced staff and volunteers who now make these transports seem like routine. It is amazing. We've got some folks who they're like, when are you getting the next transport? You know, sign me up for, you know, offloading the plane, or I'll be in the grooming room ready to give baths, or, you know, I'll be there to take them for walks once they've settled in. People have picked jobs and they do those. So when we say, hey, guess what? We're going to transport such and such a date, such and such a time, they're there and ready to go. At the same time, when people now start hearing about how we're doing this one, we get the calls, we get the messages. Hey, can I sign up to be a volunteer for future ones? Yeah, you bet. We would love that. That would be a great help. So we have a team and we always need more folks. We can always find something for people to do. That is not an issue.
Organizations like yours and so many others cannot function without volunteers.
Exactly.
It simply would be cost prohibitive. It would be impossible for you to exist without volunteers.
Exactly.
We had a question on the live stream. It says, how long is it from Andrew in Maine? Says, how long does it take to arrange the moves? It sounds like you almost have the plan. Like once you find out that the hurricane's happening, you say, all right, operation such and such, or like code this, get yourselves ready, start calling those shelters now before the storm hits and say, hey, we can help you, whatever. Like from when you find out there's going to be some sort of natural disaster that can be forecasted to today where they're on the plane, is it really that amount of time, or is it even less?
It's pretty much overnight. Okay. This one last week when Helene was hitting landfall, it was a case of, okay, we know we're going to be called upon. So our transport coordinator has the messages out to the Good Flights folks. We're ready. We're available. Who do you need? What have you got, kind of thing. So from our end, our coordinator will reach out to our partner shelters and ask who's available, who's got room, you know, who's going to be part of this. And she'll get the responses right away from who's available. And we've got, you know, 5-6 regulars who would jump on the case whenever we call. So then she talks to the Good Flights people who are literally on the ground with the shelters, and they'll, the various locations, talking to who's going to need to send, what have we got. They fortunately coordinate the flights themselves and have the connections to talk to the pilots and the companies that will generously donate their cargo planes for, you know, a day or two or whatever it takes. So they coordinate their side. We've got our side coordinated. Yesterday, it was kind of funny because we're going back and forth. What time's the flight going to be? What time's the flight going to be? You know, we're just all kind of running around on our computers. We're not really running around physically, but we're, you know, back and forth. You know, when's the flight? Oh, we'll let you know. You know, 2 hours later. Nope, it's going to be here. No. And then this morning, as you guys have seen, okay, the flight was going to land at such and such a time. No, it's not. But everybody now knows their role. So we can pretty much within 24 hours turn these things around.
That's amazing.
That's really impressive.
It is. It wasn't always this way the first couple of times. I work for an organization here at Haws where we're really good at turning on a dime and, you know, what do you need? Let's get motivated and let's go. But there are always things that, oh, wait, we have to remember this. Oh, wait, don't forget this, kind of thing. So these transport flights were a little bit more chaotic because we didn't quite have it down. We didn't know all the ins and outs, and the logistics were still a little foggy. But now that we've got the plan and we know who needs Absolutely. To do what, it's a case of, all right, you know, there's bad weather, we're getting a transport, and the people who have the certain roles just jump in and do them. And that's, you know, both here at Haws and then at our partner shelters too.
If you're just joining us, Jen Smeha is our guest. She's with Humane Animal Welfare of Society of Waukesha County, otherwise known as Haws, and they have a transport of pets coming up from areas affected by Hurricane Helene so they can clean those shelters out to prepare for an influx of animals that they will likely be seeing as the weeks go on and time goes on. As you pointed out too, Jen, all of the transport companies that give you these planes, I mean, what would it cost if an organization was to hire a plane like that, just the fuel costs alone?
I can't even imagine. This is one of those things that to have pilots that are willing to donate their time, to have these companies that have their cargo planes that are willing to say, yeah, we can rearrange our delivery schedule and get this plane to you. I'm amazed still at that. And, you know, since that's still kind of the mystery to us, because we're not the ones who have to organize that or thank goodness pay for it. That's still kind of the cool mystery. It's like, oh, what plane's going to land today? You know?
Right.
And it's just really neat. We have had repeat pilots that, you know, it's been really fun. Oh yeah. We remember you from, you know, back in December when it was, you know, sleeting or whatever. And today it's going to be lovely. So, yeah, you know, they appreciate us a little bit more when it's nice out. But it's amazing lengths that people will go to help others, and, you know, in our case, to help animals. Stunning. And as you said earlier, Jane, it just really instills, you know, a better faith in humanity again. It's great.
We all need that little reinforcement that people can still do good things.
Yes.
That people can still do good things. I'm curious, Jen, and we don't have a whole lot of time left, but, and every animal is different, obviously. Are they freaked out when they get off the plane, or, you know, is it very much an independent thing depending on the puppy or the cat?
It really does depend on the particular animal. Many of them, they're barking and they're looking out their kennels wide-eyed as they're being unloaded. But once they get here into the shelter and they get a little food in their stomachs, and you know, it's funny to watch some of them, the real shy ones, as they're in the grooming room getting a nice warm bath, and you kind of see that relaxation all of a sudden, like, oh,
I'm safe.
Okay.
I like this. I'm liking
the feeling of I'm safe.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, I think of how when I'm traveling, how annoying things can be. It, to me, it's not scary. It's just annoying. To them, this is so unknown that sure, they've been, you know, literally boxed up,
yep,
put on a plane, and then they're taken off and they're put in a van and they drive someplace. But again, the staff and volunteers are so excited to see them and cuddle. And that's the best part of it for us, is like, hello, puppy, welcome. You know, hello, cat, we're so happy to see you. They calm, they settle in pretty darn quick.
This is a great time to consider being a foster. You're going to be, yes, needing fosters. We will put all the contact information in our show notes on how to get in touch with Hawes. Jen Smeyer, thank you so very, very much. I hope everything goes great today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Stay tuned. This Shouldn't Be a Thing is coming up next. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
That old car's begging us to go. Gotta get away and get back on the road again.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, Baseball Tonight. If you want to listen to the game, you can catch the Mets at the Brewers. Come on, boys. On, yeah, WRJN 99.9 FM, 1400 AM in Racine. And in Kenosha, catch the game on 98.1 FM. 6 o'clock start tonight. The Mets at the Brewers. Come on, guys.
Don't let me down.
You can do it. You can do it. And then tomorrow at 11:30, J.R. Radcliffe will be here for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk about that and all things sports balls.
Exactly.
Just a reminder, we just had Jen Smeyer on the phone from on the show from Hawes, Humane Animal Welfare Society of Waukesha County. They've got a transport of pets coming up from areas affected by Hurricane Helene. So they're going to have, I would encourage you to check up their socials. And Jen just, mm-hmm, said that they're going to share some pictures and stuff so everybody can have fuzzy therapy once they land a little bit later today. They expect right now about 2 o'clock. And if you would like to help out the victims of Hurricane Helene, go to civicmedia.us/help. And there's a couple links there to Samaritan's Purse, the American Red Cross, and also World Central Kitchen, that they're on the ground pretty rapidly when things like this happen, and are pretty effective as well. So a real good place to consider making a donation or donate blood.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
11:53. That means it is time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, email it to janesays@civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. Today's This Shouldn't Be a Thing comes from the world of, can't we just have a nice thing? Calvin's the one who found this.
Yeah, so I saw a TikTok about the latest celebrity who has come under fire from the MAGA crowd. And
what?
This time, it is Tim McGraw.
Tim McGraw?
Yeah.
Yes, the country music singer, Tim McGraw.
Excuse me, country music legend. Thank you very, yes, much.
And he shared a Facebook post for his wife, also country music legend, Faith Hill.
Okay.
Some background on them. I will say they are one of the longest lasting couples who are independently famous in the same industry. So
it's a good point.
It's a testament. And also their song, It's Your Love, was my parents' wedding song.
Oh, lovely.
So Tim McGraw shared an Instagram post to wish his wife happy birthday, in which it said, "Happy birthday to this remarkable woman, my beautiful, strong, crazy, bad A wife. I love my girl with everything that I am and I could and could ever hope to be. She is our beacon, our rock, our strength. The girls and I are so very blessed."
That's really nice.
Now, this is where it gets controversial.
Oh, dear.
Oh, boy.
He goes on to say, "Our girls could not have a better role model in their lives as to how to be an incredibly strong woman, how to believe in themselves and be in charge of their lives, in parentheses, every aspect of their lives. Let's honor the women in our lives with respect and make sure that we fight for their rights right alongside them."
Boy, that sounds like a pretty nice message from a husband to a wife and a father of daughters.
Release the snowflakes!
Oh, good God. So what was the response from the mega contingency?
So the TikTok, to be completely honest with you, made this seem like this was a larger population of people than I believe it actually was. It seemed like he did actually have a lot of support for this. But there's, like someone said, how is the right to an abortion a right that men should fight for while women are saying it's none of men's business? You want the right to kill a baby and want men to help you get it while denying men the right to not pay you child support or alimony.
This car of happy birthday wishes has been totally derailed off the cliff.
Where did you even get that from that?
Yeah, another person said, "Tim McGraw basically saying he hopes and prays that his daughters and granddaughters can have a baby scraped from their wombs anytime they want to. Wow, if I had a daughter, that is the last thing I would ever want her to experience and endure."
I bet you any amount of money, I don't have a lot of money, but I'll borrow some of Tim McGraw's money, that he hopes that his daughters don't have to go through it either. But here's there's a small tidbit on this that needs to be shared, because I don't know if they spoke about it, is that Tim McGraw and Faith Hill are liberals. And in country music, that's tough.
It's a rarity.
That's literally walking the line right there. Yeah. And they're open and they're honest. And this shouldn't, first of all, there's nothing controversial about what he said.
No.
And it was supportive and beautiful of a family. And so let's just let a happy birthday wish happen to a guy who, after 20 plus years, still married, in love, like crazy in love with her.
Yep.
Let's just stop right there. It was perfect where it was.
Can't we have nice things, people? Just have one nice birthday message.
Yeah. Ruining birthday messages to people's spouses. Calvin, what is this?
This shouldn't be a thing.
It definitely should not be a thing. And by the way, your friend texted you, or what, she came up to you and said that.
Yeah.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah.
Record it on your phone.
Okay.
Your own version.
Caitlin, are you listening?
Record it on your phone. Send it in to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Or I'll just see you tonight. We can do it.
And we'll get it in the rotation. This is for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, we'll talk.
This is for everybody.
Tomorrow, we'll talk more about this.
All right.
It's a challenge.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. Thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. News is next, followed by Todd All, but keep it here on the vast global Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.